If you have a Bible, turn there again. And if you want to grab some notes, they're going to be there for you. And I love that we get to offer you these notes every week. And that goes right to an app called YouVersion, which is a Bible app. It's one app you need to download. If you're deciding between TikTok and YouVersion, you need YouVersion. Okay? Or 845 service. Facebook and YouVersion, you need YouVersion. Amen. Because it's the Bible, and it's got reading plans and devotionals and translations. It's just incredible what YouVersion has become. And so that's where that takes you. And I want to make sure you download that app. Again, we're in a series called What to Do in a Valley. God said to the children of Israel, as they're entering into their promised land, they're entering into their destiny, they're entering into the thing God has for them, that this land, Deuteronomy 11, this land would have hills and valleys, that there's going to be some ups and some downs. There's going to be some mountaintop moments and some valley moments, that the life of faith is not a life where everything is just, you can't out-faith hills and valleys. There's going to be some moments that you're going to have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You will fear no evil because God's rod and staff will comfort you. Goodness and mercy will follow you. You will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. Amen. But you're gonna have to walk through it. The promised land had grapes and had milk and had honey and had all of these amazing things. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a land of provision. It was a land of blessing. Cities you wouldn't have to build. Wells you wouldn't have to dig. Vineyards you wouldn't have to plant. On and on. It was blessing, but there was also giants. There was also obstacles. There was also walled cities. There was also resistance, because the enemy isn't going to give you a standing ovation into your promise. You're going to have to take it over. The scripture says the violent take it by force. We're not violent against people. We're violent against the enemy of our soul. This is a New Testament scripture. Jesus is saying that we take the kingdom of God by force. We take what God has promised us by force. And so now we're in Ezekiel 37, and we're going to read this text again. And here's what the scripture says. The hand of the Lord was on me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, and he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, only you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you." Now notice that God does it. Ezekiel says it, but God does it. Just watch that right there. "Flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Verse 7, watch it. "So I prophesied as I was commanded." I prophesied as I was commanded. Today, let's talk about prophesy in the valley. Prophesy in the valley. Father, help me now to share these truths with your people. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
So I prophesied as I was commanded. Let me try to strip that down, because that sounds maybe very spiritual and intimidating. I said what God told me to say. I said what God said. I didn't have to conjure up the words. I just had to repeat what my Father said. See, if I ask some of you, "Hey, come up here and pray," many of you would be nervous, because you would feel like you've got to come up with the words. Lord, no. Ezekiel wasn't nervous, because all he had to do was repeat. He just had to repeat what God had already said. It's really hard to be wrong when you're quoting God. Say amen, everybody. So our daughter is 7 years old, our little Goldie, and she's right now in speech therapy. We have her in this class where she's learning to talk better, and she loves it. Her teacher, Miss Kim is just the best. She's a part of our church, been a day one city lighter, and she just loves Miss Kim. And one of the things that Miss Kim told me that really shook me as she was learning her R's and her S's and all the different things that she's going through. She said it's very important that she says the right thing because it's going to directly affect her ability to read and write. And so her spelling and her reading will be directly affected by her speaking. That it's not just about saying your R's or your S's or whatever, it's about speaking correctly because there's going to be a trickle-down effect. So instead of remember, Goldie used to say, bemember. And it's cute till you got to learn to read.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're looking for bemember. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you go, how do you spell remember? B... A. She didn't say computer, she said pewter. It's really cute, actually. But now that she's getting a little older, over the last year, we've had to become very intentional about our speaking in the Chavis home. So when she would say pewter, I'd go, babe, it's computer. Oh, yeah, computer. She'd go, remember? And I'd go, it's remember. And now I kind of miss the cute words, right? So every once in a while, I'll be like, Mom, where's my pewter? You know, I think it's cute now. And Goldie will go, Dad, it's computer. And I go, oh, yeah, my bad. See, because as the father and as the mother, we had to strictly enforce how to talk because we knew it was going to affect now every other area of her life. Ooh, this sounds like the Bible. See, Jesus said in Matthew 12 that you're going to be judged by your words, that your words are going to affect your life, that we can speak thoughtful words and intentional words or what he calls idle words, I-D-L-E, idle words, we're just not thinking about it. It's just nonchalant. We're not being intentional with our words. And Jesus says we're going to be condemned or justified by our words. We're going to be held accountable for our words. So I say this to say that when you're in the valley, oh, you got to watch what you say. When you're under stress, you got to watch what you say. When you're having a passionate discussion with your spouse, come on, somebody, y'all know what that's called, fighting. You got to watch what you say. When your kids are acting up, you got to watch what you say. When you're in traffic, you got to watch what you say. When life is really, really good and everything is working out, you got to watch what you say. So I got to get into agreement with God. Okay, so how do I get into agreement with God? How do I prophesy in the valley? Firstly, you got to know God's word. You know, so I don't know about this church. I just kind of feel like they shoved the Bible down my throat. You're right. Yep. We got 30 minutes. We do. There's a lot of Bible here. Verse 4, he said to me. He said to me. In order to know God's voice, you have to first read God's voice.
That's right.
See, this is, if we did a poll on questions that you have about the Bible or Christianity or whatever, this would be the number one question. How do I know God's will for my life? How do I know God's voice? How do I know if it's the devil's voice or my voice or God's voice? How do I distinguish God's, how do I know God's will? Well, before you can hear it or sense it or decipher it, first you have to read it. So we wanna hear something, but we don't wanna read something. We want to sense something, but not know something.
That's right. Yeah.
You won't sense something till you first know something.
Gotcha.
Psalm 119. I have hidden, treasured, esteemed, and stored up. I have hidden, hear this definition again, treasured, esteemed, and stored up. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is putting a barrier between me and sin, God. And as I hide your word, as I esteem your word, treasure your word, and store up your word. Yeah. Isn't it nice when your savings account is a little above zero? Amen, everybody. It's just kind of nice to know it's there, a little emergency fund. Dave Ramsey, a little. Okay, I've got to store up your word. So that when I'm in the valley, I don't sin against you. Yes. Hey, I got to store up your word so that when I'm on the mountaintop, I don't sin against you. I got to make sure that I don't curse God at the valley floor, and I got to make sure that I don't forget God at the peak. How do I do that? I store up your word. I esteem your word. I hide your word. Only 2% of Americans will ever read the Bible all the way through. Four chapters a day. Anywhere from, depending on how fast you read and how long those chapters are that day, anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes a day. Come on, you could do that. Yes. You could do that. Easy, piece of cake. You got this. Hide the word. I don't understand the word. You'll never understand the word until you start reading it. You don't understand it and then read it. You read it and then you grow in it. You didn't understand anything when you first started it, whether it was math or economics, or if you want to understand stocks, or if you want to understand real estate or crypto or anything, if you want to understand sports, you're going to have to ingest information. And then you start to understand. I told my wife, I said, I got a birdie. She said, did you get in a fight? You flipped a guy a bird? Did you? No, I got a birdie on the golf course. I got a birdie. Is that good? It's great. She didn't understand. You gotta grow in it. You start learning. I didn't know at first. I didn't know what a birdie was at first. I've only had one. Amen. It's been 4 years. I had one. Praise the Lord. No, I've had a couple, but y'all get it. It's none of it makes sense until you immerse yourself in it.
Yeah, very good.
God will not love you more if you read the Bible. You will love God more if you read the Bible. Can I get an amen in the house? I'm gonna say some phrases. Don't get beat up by what I'm about to say, but maybe hide this in your heart. You should have a favorite Bible verse.
Yes, that's right.
You should have a favorite book of the Bible.
Yes.
You should have a life verse. You should have a Bible promise from God for your life. And so you don't go test me out there. Let me just give you mine so I don't waste time out there giving everybody my Bible verses. Because what's yours, Pastor? All right, here we go. My Bible verse is Romans 1:17, the just will live by faith. That's my Bible verse. My favorite book of the Bible is Romans. It's the Swiss Alps of the scripture, of the gospel, one theologian called it. It's the peak of the gospel. You can see everything else in the Bible from the book of Romans. You see all of scripture and you see all of the gospel. There's more Old Testament quotations in the book of Romans than any other New Testament book. It's the entire Bible in 16 chapters. My life verse is Acts 13:22, that David was a man after God's own heart. I'm just telling you, you should have that. You have a favorite golfer, you have a favorite basketball player, you have a favorite artist, you have a favorite band. You have a favorite restaurant. You know what you're going to order at your favorite restaurant. You go to Cheesecake Factory. I was going to say that Bible. That menu's that thick. You don't need it. You know what you're going to get. What's my point? We should have some favorites in here. I know. Whatever. I know. John 15:4, abide in me. Abide, live in me, abide in me. Walk with me, remain in me, continue with me. Be present with me. Engage emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually with me. Abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. You got to know God's word. You want to speak God's word? You want to hear God's word? You want to know God's word? It starts right there. You've got to know God's word. Number two, here's kind of 2.0. Now you speak God's word. So he said to me, verse 7, so I prophesied. He talked first, and now I repeated what God told me. Prophecy is again, I don't want to get on a soapbox, but it's not just about predicting the future or making predictions. Prophecy is to speak under divine inspiration. It's when you're connecting your words to the words of God. It's talking about your future like God talks about your future. It's simply agreeing with God and saying what God has said. See, the devil doesn't know your future. He's not all-knowing. Think about it like this. The devil's a present devil. Can I help you here? Jesus was, is, and is to come. God is in all things, Colossians says. He fills all space and time. Ooh, that's, man, he's bad. He fills all things. That doesn't mean everything is God. Yeah, God's in the trees, man. No. I'm not talking about being a hippie. I'm talking about when it says he fills all things, what it means is that he's in your past, he's in your present, and he's in your future all at the same time. The devil's not. The devil's only in the present. He roams around. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. Let's go back to Italy. No, okay. I'm out of points. I can't go back. I used up all my points. I didn't pay for it. Amen. Yeah, everybody know that. I didn't pay for that vacation. I'm broke. Amen. That's how you want me to be, right? Okay. Okay, good. Goldie did little street performances every day. That's how we ate food every day. Okay, good. Just want to make sure you know that. Okay. The devil roams. He's only in one place at one time. Demons roam. Jesus said they walk around in arid places. They can only be in one place at one time. God, though, is everywhere. So here's what I'm saying. So when Satan speaks to you, number one, John 8:44 says he's the father of lies, which means everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. When the devil talks to you about tomorrow, he does not know. He's hoping you come into agreement with what he's saying. He's hoping you'll believe it and then come into agreement with it. He doesn't know if you will, but he's going to try. He's going to lie to you. He's going to try to deceive you. And then what you do with those words will determine your tomorrow. God doesn't do that. So let me just say one more thing about this. Every negative emotion you have about tomorrow is from the devil. I'm not saying you can't be wise. I'm not saying you can't plan. I'm not saying you can't prepare. What I'm saying is that when you think about tomorrow, future, tomorrow, and it brings dread, that's the demonic. God doesn't do that. God knows, Isaiah 46:10, God knows the end from the beginning. I know the end. I know the end from the beginning. Watch that. I make known. I love that. I make known. Yeah. Which means that when he promises you something, it's already done for him. Yeah. Famous scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. I know. Yes. Yep. Not I think, not I hope, not I pray, not maybe. I know the plans I have for you, right, declares the Lord. So he speaks to you from your future into your present, and he now gives you what's called a promise, a prophecy. And now you begin to walk in the direction of the voice you heard. They're so different. This is such a different way to see it. So I now speak God's word. I now speak God's word over my family. I now speak God's word over my situation. I now speak God's word over the mountain in front of me. I now speak God's word over the problem. Stop talking just about your situation. Start talking to your situation. Jesus did not say, when you get to that mountain that's in front of you, go, oh, man, sure, look at that mountain, man. That's a big mountain. No, what did he say? Mark 11, he said, speak to the mountain and tell it to be uprooted and cast into the sea. We don't speak about it. We speak to it. We don't just get on social media and just talk about whatever. There's no good men in this city. Well, you're never going to find a good man that way. Because I promise you, a good man watching you vent on social media will not be attracted to that. Every woman in this city, no good woman is going to read that and be like, I can prove to him that I'm a good woman. No, they're going to run from that poison. Does that make sense? So when I say prophesy, I'm not talking about channeling something or hearing an audible voice or having the gift of a prophet. I'm talking about my words begin to come into agreement with the word of God. Joshua 1, verse 7. Joshua is now the leader of Israel. He's going to lead the nation of Israel from the wilderness to the promised land. Moses took them out of Egypt, but now Joshua is going to take them into the promised land. God says, be strong, be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law. Do not turn from the right or to the left. You will be successful wherever you go. Okay, no, I read phrases like that and I go, yes, God, I would like that. Be strong and courageous. I'm trying. I'm giving it my best, right? Don't turn to the right or left. Stop sinning. Yes. Yeah, I would like to stop sinning, right? You will be successful. Yeah, I like that. So I think we read verse 7 and we're like, well, yeah. So I'm at church right now. I'm trying. But then you never get on to verse 8.
Yeah, come on.
But verse 8 is the fuel, the vehicle, the way to get verse 7.
Yeah.
Verse 7 is the destination.
Hey.
Verse 8 is the vehicle to the destination.
Yes.
Keep the book of the law on your lips.
Yeah.
Again, let me just go back to point one real quick. You can't do that if you don't know it.
Right.
Meditate on it. This word meditate literally comes from an old word there that means to chew on the cud. Okay, now we're all city people here. Maybe a couple of you country folk slipped in. It's what cows do. Cows eat grass and they chew on it and it goes into their stomach and then they throw it up and they chew on it again and then they swallow it again, and then they throw it up, and they keep chewing on the cud till they get every ounce out of it.
Yeah.
You're like, so how do I? Well, here's what meditate also means. It means to murmur,
yes. Yes.
To mutter, excuse me, not murmur, mutter. You start saying it.
Yep.
You start talking. You just start speaking it.
So good.
We're not talking about Eastern meditation, which is to empty your mind. We're talking about Christian meditation, which is to fill your mind. See the difference? And you don't do that by, no, you read it and you mutter it. You speak it, you talk it. You get the Bible app, the YouVersion app, and you play it in your car and you get the word in you. And you say it out loud. And you do it day and night. It becomes a lifestyle for you. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So I'm not going to try to define everything in verse 8. Let me just say this. What God just said is that my future is directly connected to my commitment to God's word. Woo! 2 Corinthians 4:13. It is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. That's faith right there. What is faith? Faith is believing and speaking. Since we have the same spirit of it, see, faith is a spirit. Faith, there's something spiritual about it. It's not just routine. It's not just religion. We believe, therefore we speak. Faith is believing and speaking, believing what God has said and saying what God has said. Well, faith is works. It is. After, you first got to know what it is. Faith is obedience. It is, but how are you going to obey the Bible if you don't know the Bible?
Right.
Yeah. We're one step ahead, buddy.
Yeah.
I believe in works. Amen. I believe, faith without works is dead. Amen. Love it. Awesome. You do too. That's why you're here. You're here because, man, it's a good. But to obey, you got to first know.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I'm looking at the clock and I'm looking at my sermon. And I'm officially in trouble. So let's go to Romans 10, 17 real quick. Faith comes from hearing. How does faith come? How does faith arrive? How does faith, it comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. So how is faith manifest? How is faith born? How does faith begin? How does faith come into your life? How does faith enter into your life? What is the doorway into your life where faith enters your life and your family? Well, the word, hearing. So this word comes is the origin or the source or the doorway through the avenue. So the avenue of faith, the source of faith, the origin point of faith is hearing the word. Here's a point. You don't produce faith on your own.
Yeah. Very good.
I'm going to have faith. I'm going to believe God. That's not faith. Your ability to contort your face is not faith. Faith is born, originated in the Word. So that means that I've got to be under the influence of the Word. I've got to hear the word. I've got to read the word. I've got to listen to the teaching of the word. I've got to be under the word. And then faith is born. That's the avenue of faith. Does that make sense? Let me give it to you in an example. Mark chapter 5, there's a woman with the issue of blood. The scripture says she heard about Jesus, faith. She said to herself, faith. See it? She heard about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, she heard. And then she said, she came into agreement, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could be healed. So her hearing and her speaking came into agreement. Here's the problem with a lot of you. You're in agreement with God for 1 hour on Sunday. And even for a lot of you, not even that, because you're in disagreement the whole time I'm preaching. But for a lot of you, you're here. You're like, yes, And then as soon as you get to the car,
right.
You just throw on Cardi B. You just throw on. No, I'm serious. I'm not trying to be ugly. I love you, Cardi. If you're watching, we love you, sis. But you immediately get out of agreement with the word. You saying I can't listen? You can listen whenever the heck you want. I hope you're not, I'm not legalistic. Go do whatever you want. My point is, we get out of agreement so quickly.
Yes.
What I want to tell you about her is she heard and then she said, and then she did. She began to go through. So there was hearing and there was speaking and there was action. When you're in the valley, you've got to stay under the influence of the word. And you've got to, and here's the deal. When you're in it and everything around you doesn't look like the word, you've got to say it even when it doesn't look like it. That's the challenge. The challenge of the woman is, I know I can be healed, but I'm bleeding. I know God can do something, but I'm looking at my marriage. I know God can do something, but I'm looking at my health. I know God can do something, but I'm looking at what just happened in my family. I know what God can do, but I know what I'm experiencing. Because she could have heard about Jesus and went, well, it's not for me. But she came into agreement with her words and then with her actions. Okay, finally, expect God's word. Okay, so God, the word of the Lord came to me. I know God's word. I prophesied as he commanded me. I spoke God's word. Number three, I now expect God's word. And I heard a sound. And the bones came together. Ezekiel's life started to come into alignment with God's word. Did Ezekiel speak something into existence? No, you can't. Did Ezekiel manifest? No, you can't. Ezekiel agreed with God.
Yes.
And God put the bones together.
Yes.
For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. I'll end with this. We don't have time to read it. It's in your notes. Matthew 8, a man comes to Jesus and says, my servant is sick. And Jesus says, well, let's go to the house. And the man says, I'm not worthy for you to come under into my house. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Watch this phrase. This is verse 8, Matthew 8:8. Just say the word.
Yeah. So good.
Hallelujah. Can I get an amen in the house of the Lord? Just say the word. And my servant will be healed. Well, I guess I gotta read the Bible. No. I open this book and I go, just say the word. I don't need to capture all four chapters. I don't need to understand the 10 chapters that I read. I don't need everything to make, but if I could just get one little phrase. If I could just get one little verse, come on somebody. If I could just get one little promise from God that could. I told you my life verse. It's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. The just shall live by faith. Anybody can memorize that. You don't have to memorize the whole book. Just get you a little word. Just say the word, God.